Welcome back to Red Eyes, boys and girls. Good to have you here. I'm Henrik. Some of you might not be aware that you can also watch the video version of the show. We have that on our websites, redeyes.tv and redeyesmembers.com. Also, of course, on our YouTube channel. So June 6th is just around the corner. This marks actually the National Day of Sweden. We don't actually have an Independence Day that some nations do. I guess we had other nations becoming independent from us to a certain extent. But I wanted to bring on some fellow patriots today so that we can talk about the National Day, the state of our country, the many problems that we face, of course, as you, I'm sure you're aware of. And one way of anchoring our appreciation, I guess, for our common heritage, for our people and our culture is to have to put more focus basically on those events that marks the uniqueness that we have, that celebrates our culture, celebrates our people, who we are basically. But sadly, the National Day has become largely, I would say, meaningless to a certain extent. Even, you know, the far left nut websites such as The Local actually have deconstructed a little bit about this, writing about the fact that many don't seem to appreciate the National Day. Many don't even celebrate it. And to a certain extent, they are correct in the article. They actually say that it was initially kind of artificially created. In other words, nothing of great importance had actually occurred on that day. It was actually called the Day of the Swedish Flag or Svenska Flaggans Dag initially. And I think it was a guy that actually owned the biggest outdoor museum in Sweden, Skansen, that started with the celebration. Now, it is true that on this day, June 6th, it was the anniversary of Gustav Vasa's election in 1523. Also, June 6th was the day that Sweden adopted a new constitution, once in 1809 and then in 1974. But, you know, it's an accurate observation that it was kind of largely artificially imposed back in 83. They didn't really know what to do with it. So the article goes on and talks a bit about the fact that Midsummers is kind of more of a national holiday for Sweden to a certain extent. We're very proud of our Midsummers celebration in Sweden. But the other problem then we can look at quickly is the fact that the National Day has actually kind of become culturally appropriated to a certain extent as well. It's been taken by foreigners, and they celebrate this in a way that we've never had. And so this is a big problem. So I've actually brought on a couple of people here today, folks. We have a little bit of a roundtable on this issue, just talking about the National Day in general, but also the bigger picture of what it is that we're facing. So let me bring on some of the guests here, guys. We have, of course, first of all, Ingrid Karlqvist with us. Hey, Ingrid, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you. Always nice to be here.
Great to have you here. Ingrid, of course, is a co-host with me on Norse News, same as Konrad or Daniel Frendlöv. Welcome, Daniel.
Hi, Henrik. Hi, guys. Nice to be here.
Great to have you here. We also have a new guest. He hasn't been on the show before, Christopher Dulny. Welcome.
Hey, Henrik. What's going on?
Very good. Great to connect with you. We also have Marcus Folin, of course, the Golden One.
Good evening.
Excellent to have you here. Thank you. And last but not least, Stefan Jakobsson. Welcome, Stefan.
Thank you, Henrik. It's nice to be here again.
You bet. Great, guys. So let's just kind of open this up a little bit and talk a bit about what the National Day actually means for Swedes today. Ingrid, let me start with you a little bit, because what do you, I mean, you might be the oldest actually among us. Have you seen that the National Day has changed over time at all? What does it mean to the average Swedish person, would you say?
Well, I would say that the National Day has never meant anything to any Swede, because Midsummer's Eve is our real national day. There is no other day that Swedes feel more Swedish than on Midsummer's Eve. And I actually wrote a column about this, I think, early in the 90s, that let's just forget about June 6th and just let's make Midsummer Eve our national day. Because nobody has any connection to the national day, the 6th of June. It doesn't mean anything to us. We have never been occupied by any other country. We don't feel that this is an independence day. They just sort of made this day to have a national day. And it, as you said before, it wasn't even a national day. It was just called the Day of the Swedish Flag. And so I suggest that we just forget about the National Day and just let's make Midsummer Eve our National Day, because that is the real National Day.
And it's kind of been like that anyway, hasn't it? I mean, it's like the Midsummer celebration is really where the patriotic feelings come out in a way. It was the natural day, you'd think, to, and it even, I don't know what you guys, other guys think, but it almost kind of merges a little bit of our pagan, you know, heritage with the Christian one. It's a very, you know, it's an encompassing day, isn't it?
But absolutely. And, you know, even Swedes who say they are lefties and they are non-nationalists, they are not patriots, even they have a Swedish flag on the table when they eat their sill and potato and drink their snaps. So, yeah, that is our real national day.
The goddamn herring, you know, that's the curse of Swedes right there. I do enjoy it, too, I got to say.
The celebrations here in Sweden, they're so confused because we have no tradition. We don't know what to do. We try to sing the national tune, but lately it's been more and more of a multicultural just experiment. And one of the big things in our hometown, Henrik, when I was there celebrating, was to introduce the new Swedes to everyone. So it took some guys from Afghanistan, and then people would just sit there and clap and welcome these people. And that's not what you want to see on the National Day celebration.
No, that's what I said. It's like it's been culturally appropriated, right? We as Swedes don't really have anything that's kind of exclusively ours when it comes to national celebrations anymore.
No. Anti-national day, actually.
What do you guys, what do the other guys think in terms of the Svenska flaggans dag, the day for the Swedish flag? I mean, it's ridiculous, but that's what it was called for the longest time. Do you guys agree with Ingrid, Stefan?
Sort of. I would agree that Midsummer is our natural holiday for all Swedes. But at the same time, I have celebrated the 6th of June since I became a patriot when I was 13, 14 years old, together with my friends. I think the main problem is that the establishment, the politicians, etc., they don't try to learn us about this day, why we should be proud about this day, why we should be proud of Sweden. Because of fact, it is kind of an independence day. When Gustav Vasa was elected, Sweden was united as a country again. Before we were a union in the Kalmar Union. So I think if we learn more about our tradition, our history, and you know, from the media, from the politicians, why we should be proud of this day, why we should be proud of Sweden, then it would come more natural for us how to actually celebrate it. Now, nobody knows what is this day. The only thing we know is that we welcome foreigners to become Swedes on this day. This is the only thing we know about this day. But I think this can change. And I think that we can actually see the 6th of June as an Independence Day. It shows that we have been one country for almost 500 years. It's a very long time. It's, I think, more or less unique in the world. So it's something to be proud of. We have never been occupied during these 500 years.
That's true. That's true. Christopher, what do you think?
I mean, I want to have a white pill to take on it, because at the end of the day, it is what you make it, right? You can fill it with content. You can make it worthful. You can make it interesting. You can talk about our cultural heritage. You can celebrate it. I'm going to a wonderful park. The Swedish opera is there. They put in a huge tent. There's families everywhere. Hopefully it's going to be sunny. And I think it's a pretty wonderful day, actually. So I think what we need to focus on is how to fill it with important content. Not that it doesn't mean that much, because it is what it is. And we have to become who we are.
Yeah, that's true. Marcus, get on in here. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the culture of basically all of the West is slowly decaying, which means that we can create a new culture, which is much better than the old one. So just as Chris is saying, take the white pill and make the best out of it. So even if the Swedish state, which is in decline as well, culturally speaking and metapolitically speaking, they're losing credibility day for day. So they can have their mockery of our national day as much as they want, because it's good propaganda for our side, because no normie blue-pilled Swede want to see that either. They just get angry. when the establishment is basically kicking at our national heritage. So they're fracturing the society, which is good, because then more people can become red-pilled or glorious-pilled and go in our direction. But then to comment on what Ingrid said, I also agree that Midsummer's Eve is more of a national day, or it's the day where we feel perhaps a bit most in tune with our nation, both on a pagan and, you know, a more later tradition as well. And in regards to celebrating the national day, I've obviously not been a veteran as long as Stefan, but usually it's also about getting together with a few friends and at least celebrating somewhat of it. To conclude my answer, we can shape the culture, and that is what I think we should be focusing on. So even if it doesn't really mean that much to everyone right now, if we start working metapolitically and culturally right now, it can mean something very important to people in 10 years' time.
Yeah, that's true. And I think to a certain extent, I think the establishment and the cultural elites in Sweden, the cultural Marxists and the media and all this kind of stuff, I think to a certain extent that they have intentionally kind of spread this issue of like, well, we don't really, you know, we don't know what we're celebrating anyway. We don't know, you know, our culture. And even the piece that I, you know, showed there in, on the local kind of runs through just kind of the basic premise that it's like, well, no one really knows anything. But it's true what you said, Stefan, that it's like there's actually a lot to celebrate there. There's a lot to be proud of. There's a long history, a long heritage. And to a certain extent, obviously, it doesn't matter what day we pick. If we pick, you know, the June 6th or when does it fall this year, Midsummer? It's like June 24th, I believe, on the Saturday or something like that. Let's turn the whole month into Sweden month. How about that, right?
Yeah.
Checks out.
So do you guys think, though, I mean, if we compare it to Norway, but I think everyone knows Norway's Independence Day, 17th Mai, 17th of May. Even in Sweden, you can see the Norwegians that are there crazy celebrating this. Maybe an Independence Day of sorts would be better, that to kind of, you know, free yourself some way. Maybe we can do this, guys. I don't know what you think about this, but maybe we can have a day where we liberate ourselves from the globalist tyranny and declare an Independence Day on this year on Midsummer's. What do you guys think about that?
I think that the day that we do really shake off this globalism, then we can find a new day and celebrate that. But we don't know that yet. When is that day going to be? But as far as it goes right now, I think that the most important thing is to not to, you know, create something from nothing. Why should we put a lot of effort into celebrating June 6th when most Swedes don't feel anything about June 6th, but every Swede feels so much about Midsummer's Eve.
That's the problem, Ingrid. We have to make people feel something.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we could do that, but why not just, you know, start off by just letting everybody know that Midsummer's Eve, the celebration that we have, is uniquely Swedish. I think they do celebrate it in Finland too, but that is the Swedes, the Swedish-speaking people living in Finland. No one else all over the world celebrates Midsummer's Eve like we do, with a maypole and, you know, dancing around this maypole like crazy frogs and all that stuff. And this is really such a Swedish tradition. So why do we have to make people feel something for June 6th when we have this great celebration where everybody feels Swedish?
I would actually agree with Stefan there that actually, I mean, if we can have 2 days instead of just one day, where one day is explicitly our national day and the other one can just remain implicitly Swedish tradition. And I mean, if no one feels anything for the 6th of June right now, that's a problem. That is where we need to work on creating a tradition, because you can create culture and you can create tradition. We can start right now. So if we start working on this right now, and in 10 years, perhaps a lot of guys will feel, and girls, of course, will feel something that, you know, celebrate all these great endeavors throughout our glorious history. So I'd actually prefer to have the 2 days instead of just transferring 6th of June to Midsummer. The more days, the merrier is my take on it.
Exactly. Why not? You know, celebrate every day, right? But, you know, it's understood. You need 1 day for that extra kind of celebration or whatever. But guys, let's speak a bit about, I mean, again, I think we can all agree that it doesn't matter when we celebrate it. The most important is that we do it and that we take all the culture that we have, all the levels of our heritage going way back thousands of years in our history to just, you know, a few hundred years or even a few decades, basically. Bring that back, celebrate those traits, celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and our people. But if we, for a moment, just speak about this issue of whether or not Sweden is a lost cause, I know that I see these comments all the time on comments, message boards, everywhere. That's it. Sweden's fucked. You know, it's over. Don't even bother with it. Let's address that a little bit, guys, because I want to have your take on this. And let's put our international friends in their place in this regard and say that real opposition hasn't even really kicked off yet in Sweden. The levels of organization are just starting to happen. It's by far not a lost cause. I mean, it's like we're still the majority of people. We run our country primarily. But yeah, guys, jump in here and speak to our international friends a bit.
Obviously, I have a lot to say on this topic, and I find it rather hilarious when guys in Great Britain or America or Germany or France ask what is going on in Sweden, but we're actually in a much better position than they are. Demographically speaking, and then metapolitically speaking, we're far ahead of them as well. So in addition to this great potential that is within our people, so I am 100% certain that we can turn this around because we are in such a good position on so many levels. I think the reason many people are wondering what happened to Sweden is that we were such an amazing country and then it took a turn for the worse, whereas these other countries, they haven't even been near our level of perfection in regards to society. So it's like we had a perfect society which has taken a turn for the worse, but we're still better than all these other nations. So it's a bit hilarious when people criticize us. And yeah, as I said, we have probably the most developed metapolitical landscape in the West. We will definitely turn this ship around.
Well, to be honest, fam, I think we live in the most interesting timeline right now. I love this timeline, to be honest.
Yeah, it's the best timeline.
It's the best timeline in a way for us because, I mean, we have something to say, we have a message, we are people of ideas. And our ideas are right and correct, and it's exciting to not be the establishment in a way. I have to say I'm a little bit of anti-authoritarian in a way. So, but I also have to say about this. I don't know. You know of the Captain Sweden meme, right? Sweden yes meme.
Sure.
That Sweden is the most cucked country on earth. And I did an episode about this with Daniel Friberg and others, Eurocentric podcast, where I think the name of the episode was Killing Captain Sweden. And here's the thing, we need to realize that between us, if we're a nationalist, if we're in the alt-right, if we're whatever, if you're on the right, if you're on our side, we don't need to blackpill each other and counter-signal each other. We need to lift up each other as a movement.
Yeah.
However, so these kind of memes, Sweden Yes memes and London Cucked memes or whatever, we can sort of like send this out to the populace to sort of wake them up a little bit. But between us, we don't need that sort of counter signaling. We need to white pill each other because it's us against everyone else.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Perhaps it is time for a new Captain Sweden. Who knows?
Well, we have the guy over here, so let's do it.
I'm using meme magic to meme myself into that position, right?
Make the cape, Marcus. Make the cape of the Swedish flag, you know, put it on.
No, but also I think we have to remember that change can come really quickly. If you had asked anyone in Germany in 1988, no, in 1 year's time, the wall will not be there anymore. And in 3 years of time, the Soviet Union will have collapsed. Nobody would have believed you. If I told you in year 2000 that, okay, in 5 years, Arnold Schwarzenegger, known for the Terminator, he will be governor of California, you know,
California.
you know, change is happening so very rapidly, and you cannot even see it. So I'm sure that change is already here. We can't just see it yet, but in a few years' time, we will see it. And a lot of people who thought that, okay, this was the end, they will see that, no, this was just a new beginning, and things will change for the better.
I'm sorry to be the party pooper here, but what you were talking about, I do agree that things happen and change very quickly. But the difference between Sweden of 2017 and Germany in 1998 was that they were one people. I mean, they were all Germans living there. They knew that they wanted to change their country. And I do agree that most Swedes will, in a few years' time, come together and say, yes, we don't accept this anymore. But what is it? Sort of 20 or 30% of our population is not Swedish anymore. So it will not be as easy as it was in Germany.
But like, we will still be by very far the largest minority. So even if we become 50% of the population, yeah, that's a large and powerful minority. And if we know that we are just one ethnic group among others, then we will start behaving a bit more like minorities do, aka holding each other's backs and standing up for each other. So we will actually become more powerful the fewer we get. I mean, that's the Scandinavian spirit, fewer but better. So I am still positive in that. So we're going perhaps demographically towards worse times, but we will get better as we become fewer. So it's not all bad in that regard. And then also, like, we have the glorious gift of the internet right now, so change can come even faster. Yes, as Stefan said, like, the change when the Soviet Union fell really quickly, no one could have foreseen it. Add that factor to the speed with which we can create new things via the internet. So if you look at the metapolitical landscape today, 2017 versus two or three years ago, completely different. If you could perhaps do some sort of test, like measure the amount of red-pilled people 3 years ago versus today, it would have been a huge, massive difference. And I mean properly red-pilled, so that you know, with the JQ and everything. So I am very positive in this regard, actually.
And I really think this migrant crisis might be the thing that, as you said here, Marcus, really unifies the Swedish people. And that's just a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah, definitely. It was a good wake up call for a lot of people.
I think we all want a white galactic empire. That's the long term goal. Yes. And I think we all worked towards the ethnostate, and maybe that's not going to work in the long term, hopefully, but in the short term, no. Maybe we're even going to sort of a white tribal society where we are minorities, but we're largest minorities. But we also have this fantastic global network these days where we can work together. We have to use globalism for our cause. We have to use their globalism against themselves by networking, by being looking at ourselves as whites, I think, in a way, first and foremost these days, because we're turning to minorities in our own countries. I think ethnationalism is great, but we also have to realize that we're all in the same boat together, and we all have to
I definitely agree. I mean, we have a shared heritage and a shared journey and a shared destiny. So, I mean, it's basically the same narrative for the guys in Germany or the Netherlands or England or America or Australia. It's the same narrative and it's the same shared destiny. So, and that is a great strength as well, that we have support from the same sort of people in America or in Australia. So, exactly as you say, like, we need to use this great gift to our fullest advantage. And it feels rather good to have all of these perhaps former enemies standing together against this threat. And if you look at European history, Western history, you can see how formidable the West is in a lot of different ways. And that level of formidableness combined, that is glorious. That brings me very much joy.
Isn't it, guys, that that common heritage you're talking about, that's going to be, by recognizing that, that's going to be the insurance that we need to ensure that we don't have a First and Second World War happening again, right? Because, you know, stronger nations together doesn't automatically mean, of course, that we are going to war with each other. But that possibility is out of the picture at this stage, I think, because of that reasons, as you mentioned, Marcus. We have a common kind of problem that we're faced with today, really, and therefore, but I still see that those layers of identity is very important, almost like an onion, right? We have a smaller association with, you know, with our family, and then from, you know, the extended family, then out to maybe the whatever group inside of the nation we belong to, then the nation, then the European identity, and then the greater identity as a white person. I think we should encourage all of those layers and have as many layers as possible, because I think that that will be kind of a defense, I guess, for the lack of a better term. I think if we generically just talk about white people, then that we will be one step closer to having removed those identities, you know. So, for example, I like to think of myself not only as a Swede, as a European, but also as a Goth, for example, you know, from Götaland. That aids in that process of ensuring that there's layers to my identity that's going to not be removed when some crazy person comes along and tries to say I don't have one, right? So we need. There's nothing wrong with multiple identities. That's what I mean. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Henrik. And I think this is especially the case with Sweden as one of the world's oldest nations, and with the populations who have lived here for more than 10,000 years. We are extraordinary, unique people, and we have developed in a certain way. And you can even, only if you go to Norway or Denmark or Finland, you can see that they are doing things a little bit different. We are very similar, but still you can see the unique things with our countries, and even within our country we can see unique abilities from the different regions. So I think this is absolutely something that we should encourage and keep it living throughout the generations to come.
But are you really sure that most Swedes feel like that? Are you sure that they know that we are one of the oldest nations in the world? Do they know that we have been here for like 12 or 13,000 years? I mean, we have this a few years ago, the government decided, this is kind of an EU thing, that we need to have national minorities in our country. So they decided that Jews and Gypsies and sort of Swedish, Finnish people and so on, and the Samis. Is that what they're called, Samis in English?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
Sami.
And they even said that the Samis were the ancient population. There is a word for this in Swedish called urfolk. I don't know what that is called in English, Henrik.
Like origin people, or, you know,
yeah,
something like that.
Origin people. But then just, can I ask you a question? You know, Sweden is a long country like this. And up here in the north is where the Samis live. And down in the south is where the people from Scania live, people like me. Do you think that the ice, when we had the ice age, do you think that the ice started melting from north and down south? Or do you think it was the other way around? But actually, since they gave the Samis this title, a lot of Swedish people, and I know this because I fight with people on Twitter every now and then about this. A lot of Swedish people, they actually believe that the Samis were the first people who inhabited Sweden.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. But even if it's like you're saying, that most Swedes don't have a clue, it really doesn't matter because it's still true. It just needs that they needs to be educated.
Yeah, and it's irrelevant because they don't rule a culture or rule the political system, these people, right? They're just like, if we can show them what's right and what's true, we can show them the way to go, right? It's not more difficult than that.
No, of course not. But then we need more power. We need more people to look at us. We need more people to wake up and not be so afraid to you know, watch Red Eyes or the other alternative media that we do have. Because most Swedes, they are sleeping or they are so crushed that they just, you know, they just go on with their lives. They don't even want to think about anything. They just want to put food on the table and have their Midsummer's Eve and so on, and then just not think about it. And that's the biggest problem,
I think. They're going to be forced out of that comfort zone, right, guys? I mean, it's like they won't be able to ignore the issues. Look at England now. I mean, it was another one, of course, yesterday, terrorist event. This is not as horrible as it is. It's not a problem to a certain extent for us because it shows what we already know. We knew that this would be a consequence of forced mass migrations, and now it's just starting to unfold itself, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for each week, every week that is passing, there are a lot of good men and women in Sweden or in the West in general who are waking up, so to speak. And since we have so much potential in our people, especially here in Sweden, because we're special, like everyone knows this. And this gives me hope that for every week, there is the chance that some extremely formidable individual of some sort wakes up. And this can be in whichever walk of life he or she comes from. And if everyone feels that way and can participate in this culture war, in this metapolitical war, we are in a very good position. So, I mean, yes, yet again, 3 years ago, a lot of Swedes were sleeping. Now, a lot more Swedes are awake. In 3 years' time from now, 2020, there will be very many Swedes who are awake and they're willing to do what they can to aid the cause. So, I mean, time is on our side still. In that regard,
I've been working in the Swedish Parliament for the last 7 years for the Sweden Democrats, and I quit 3 weeks ago. Why? Because I believe in what you do and what we do. I felt we had a momentum, we have something to offer other people, and they are actually willing to listen. And yes, I agree, the institutions are against us, the Parliament is against us. We're not going to change it from the top. It's going to come from the bottom up. And we are the ones who are going to do this. And I think we actually have a great, great chance, which the great meme war in 2016 told us. So this is the struggle that we have to do. And this is where we are coming from. And I see only positives, almost only positives. I mean, we have this horrible, horrible situation. And it's sort of factored in for me. I expect this. I expect more terror. I expect more immigration. I expect us to decline when it comes to the demographic question. But there's also no question that we have something solid to offer people, and we're going to win them over one by one. And we don't need everyone. We don't need 50%. We need maybe 5% of the best.
Yeah,
everything else is going to change.
Those who rule people, those who dictate culture, etc. Go ahead, Marcus.
Another thing, like with the demographic situation, if we look at the Black Death at the end of the Middle Ages, I mean, in certain parts of Europe, up to 60% of the population died. What came after the Black Death? Yes, the Renaissance. Because the death led to a rebirth. And this is like in our spirituality as well. Life goes in cycles, just as the spring comes after winter. So we've been in a winter. Now it's the time for spring. Now is the time to revive. And we can do this even with declining numbers in terms of population. We can still revive and create a truly good and solid culture from something that was obviously not the best culture since we're in this situation. So this is a very positive thing in all actuality.
Yeah, if we look at the history, guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, Gustav Vasa, who was born Gustav Eriksson, he was one who, liberated, right, the Swedish War of Liberation. What I'm saying is that, over time or in a short period of time, like you said, Stefan, you can have vast changes. You can have people that come in and steer up the situation to make sure that things go in the right direction. As far as I'm concerned, guys, I think that our politicians, the system that are running the things right now, I think that they're basically insane people. They're dangerous people. They're people that are putting our descendants' lives at risk. And it actually is up to balanced, well-meaning, good-intended people to make sure that the situation changes and that we restore our country to peace again and to a better place where we have been. I don't see a problem with that. I think that we're going to see stuff like that in the future because things are, if it continues as it does, it's just going to get so bad that we have to get to a stage where people who are, who understands the situation will have to come into the picture and basically just take over from these people in one capacity or another. I don't know if you guys agree, but that's what I think is going to happen. Any thoughts?
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you, Henrik. And I think we are seeing this more or less every day now, that very productive, competent people are now joining forces with us. I have worked with this now for almost 20 years, and the kind of people who are now attracted to our ideas are much, much better than the ones who were attracted to them 10 years ago, 15 years ago, or 20 years ago when I started to get involved. The quality of the people now and what they are able to do is increasing all the time. So for each month that goes by, for each year, we get more and more potential because we're getting more and more people who are willing and capable of actually doing something.
Absolutely. So guys, let's just underline that point again that we talked about, that, our international friends claim that there are no fighting spirit left in us. My argument is we haven't even begun really fighting back yet. Do you guys agree?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we are, like, if we count in percent, we still have a higher percent, like, in metapolitics that are active. And yeah, we haven't begun fighting yet. So I'd say that we should counter-signal with creating a Captain America who's like fat or something. No, I don't know. But yeah, just no, I
burgers. Yeah.
Let's just meme you into the new Captain Sweden, the new fascist Captain.
It's a glorious fascist.
The glorious. Yeah, whatever. I mean, checks out, folks.
Checks out. Yeah.
But Christopher, can I just ask you? You said that you stopped working in the parliament after 7 years, and so you more believe in the metapolitics now. But do you think that is it of no importance, the election of 2018 and the Sweden Democrats? Do you think they will have no impact on what is going to happen in Sweden?
Well, I heard there's maybe there's some alternative to the Sweden Democrats. Rumors are spreading. I can't confirm or deny anything. But what I will say is that, of course, it's important. I mean, parliamentary elections are important. Me, personally, I wasn't the right guy at the right spot. I needed to do something else. I came into this nationalist movement in 2009. I was attracted to the ideas. That's what kept me going. And then you end up in office and then you start to work and then you sort of lose yourself a bit and then you try politics and a scandal or two and then you're out again. And I mean, it's just like a rut. So it's for me, it's a personal thing. I felt the movement had better use for me somewhere else. But I do believe Sweden Democrats is going to do a fantastic result. I think there are other competitors coming up. We'll see how that works out. Maybe they have learned a thing or two from the last elections, the American election, Brexit, etc. So,
but the thing that I worry about is that I have this suspicion that even if you have the best of intentions and you sort of win an election, and let's say that they would get the post of the prime minister, I don't think that's possible, of course, but just let's say. And then I have this suspicion that when you come into power, you will have a lot of officials coming into you, telling you, oh, no, no, you can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. So it's all, you really don't have any possibility to really change what is going on, because you have all these treaties and so on. What do you think about that?
And that's why the political situation is not always the solution. It is the metapolitical discussion. But you go ahead, Christopher, if you had something to add to that.
Yeah, I'll say one thing. You have to crash the plane without survivors. That's how you have to do it. You have to totally just go in for the kill. You're there for 4 years. Make it count. And if you don't have the backbone for it, then hopefully someone else does.
Are they so brave? Would they do that?
Well, we need people that are brave, right?
Some are. Some I know are not. But I mean, a lot can change in a political party also.
What I see, what we need to do is, as you say, crash the plane. Like, go as hard and heavy as we can, full steam ahead, full intensity, ramp up the intensity of the meme war, the metapolitical war, the culture war. What happens next? I mean, if we can take one step at a time towards our vision, I mean, nothing ever becomes the way you plan it. But as long as we go in somewhat in a good general direction, things will become better. It might not be perfect, might not be as planned politically or culturally or metapolitically, but as long as we keep pushing in the right direction, and this obviously goes for politics as well.
So I don't think sorry, go ahead, Marcus, finish that.
Yeah, no.
I just want to say, I think we have to fight on, as you say, on every front that we can. We obviously, I don't think we should spread ourselves individually too thin, but I think we have enough of people to work on the different fronts that we have, if you will. Yeah. And we got to try everything. I see other groups doing this. They just, they shoot off, 2,000 rounds and maybe two of them hits, and that's all it takes, right? I mean, so and that's the same in this regard in terms of politics. And that's what you say, Christopher, that it's like, let's just have people that go in there that are brave, that ups the rhetoric, that just pushes to get things done. And who knows, maybe at some stage, one of these individuals will catch on and people will be like, you know what, I like this guy. Or, let's go with him, right? And that's all it takes to push things in a better direction for us.
And the truly glorious thing here is that since we have so much potential in the Swedish people, everyone can participate in the culture war in a different endeavor. So we have very many good musicians who can create songs. I mean, look at the Irish. They kept their fighting spirit alive somewhat due to their extremely good and primordially arousing music that they had. So we have it in Sweden as well. We have publishing companies, Logik.se, Logik.se, doing a great work, distributing solid, unpolitically correct books that you can educate yourself with. And you have all these sort of, all of the things you guys are doing as well. I mean, so if everyone does something that you're really good at, and we have all of these different fronts. So me, I'm unfortunately not a musician. I mean, I like to sing, but I'm not good at it. But we have many of these guys who can do that. And then there's guys who are good in graphics, who can make, good propaganda material. We have guys with a good sense of humor who can create memes, because memes are perhaps our best weapon, to be honest. We have authors who can create a bit more solid intellectual material. So we have all these things, and everyone asks themselves, okay, what am I good at? How can I contribute? And then they start contributing on all these different fronts. So there's nothing that is... So if you're a musician, for example, and you want to help, don't worry so much about politics or literature. Go with music. Create an inspiring song that the guys around the campfires can sing and get their blood going. So that's my take on that.
That's good. Guys, unless someone else has an addition to that, please jump in. But I wanted to move on to the next topic, but the next issue, which is to kind of just diagnose the problem a little bit before we talk about what to do. We've spoken a bit about, of course, what direction we need to go now. But how did we then, as you said before, Marcus, if we were such a great country, right, and a great people, how do we allow ourselves to end up in the situation that we did? Was something done to us, or did we allow it to happen? Who's to blame here, guys? What do you think? Where should we point the fingers, at ourselves or at someone else?
I think at ourselves. I think that we are Swedes is the main issue. We have created a society where from birth that it's wrong to lie. it's ugly to go on social welfare. You should help other people, etc., etc. It's in our DNA. It's how we are functioning as human beings, as a Swede. And this has been the perfect country or the perfect people to do this against, because our mentality, we have not put up our guard. You know, we are defenseless in this way, because our society has functioned so well, because we think so very good of other people.
And don't forget that Sweden was the most homogenous country in the Western world up until 1975, when our parliament decided that we were not going to be a Swedish country anymore, but a multicultural one. So all these virtues that Stefan talked about, is they worked so well when we were just Swedes in this country. And also another thing you have to know is that Swedes are very nationalistic. Most people think we are not, because we don't celebrate June 6 and we don't brag. So, but we are. We are almost all Swedes. They are totally convinced that Sweden is the best country in the world. There are no other countries that could ever compete with us. But we also know, if you are the best, you are not supposed to brag, because that's really, really bad. So we don't talk about it, but we know that we are the best. So that's also why we believe that all those people who came to Sweden, of course, we didn't know there were going to be so many, but when there were a few hundred or a thousand a year, we believe that they would look at us and say, oh, what a wonderful country you have. What a wonderful people you are. We all like to become like you, because that was what we thought. Who wouldn't want to be a Swede? So that's why we were so defenseless.
Yeah. To answer your question, Henrik, obviously we need to talk about the JQ here as well. But the ultimate blame, obviously, say if you walk down the street and somebody comes up and punches you in the face, you can blame yourself for not having the guard up, which you should. You should have your guard up. But at the same time, we also need to talk about which metapolitical and cultural factors that have been present in all of the West. The same thing in America, in Hollywood, porn industry, music industry, academia. So we need to talk about the Jewish question, no doubt about that at all. But in doing so, we also need to realize that these sort of tricks, they only work if we have our guard down. So it happened to us because we allowed it to happen, basically. And last election, Sweden Democrats got 87% of the population. A majority of Swedes did not vote for them. So obviously we are, at the end of the day, we are responsible for it ourselves. But then also we need to, if you've been poisoned, for example, you kind of want to know who poisoned you and made you drop your guard. But to blame someone else for your life situation is not the masculine way to do it at all. At the end of the day, you can only look yourself in the mirror and say, okay, how did I end up in this situation? So I would answer the question like, yes, it is important to realize the metapolitical and cultural factors behind it, but we also need to accept personal responsibility for what is happening in our lives, both personal lives and the life of our beloved Sweden.
I mean, we could blame the politicians, we could blame the journalists, we could blame whatever, but we have to look at ourselves. And I mean, everyone should understand that bringing like tens of thousands of young men from Afghanistan to Sweden, that could never, never, ever be a good idea.
Can we not blame our grandparents and our parents a little bit too? I mean, we lived in a country where it was ugly to discriminate, right? And these kinds of issues, which to a certain extent maybe would have taught us to be a little bit more suspicious than being gullible and naive and thinking that whoever comes into our country, it's for good reasons or whatever. But this aspect that we were not living in a culture and a society that really taught us that the world out there is not all what Sweden is, right? We lived in such peaceful circumstances and such prosperity to a certain extent, maybe not individually, but as a country collectively, it was a good prosperity. We were successful. And this, to a certain extent, made us not weak, but naive, and thinking that, you know, it's only good people out there. Don't discriminate. That's ugly. That's bad, right? So, to a certain extent, we were not equipped with thinking that there might be people out there that want to come to our country and take advantage of it, for example, or take advantage of our generous welfare system, or get into our country to try to destroy us, you know, culturally and even genetically at the end of it, like the Barbara Spectors have, for example. What do you guys think?
Well, just think about the Swedish Prime Minister, Tage Erlander, who is the one who, I think he was Prime Minister for 35 years or something like that. And in 1965, he said, after there had been some race riots in the United States, he said in a speech in the Swedish Parliament, we are in a so much more lucky situation than the United States, because our country is homogenous, not only according to the race. So he knew, and all of the Swedish people knew in 1965 that we were so lucky, so lucky. And can you imagine, 10 years later, the Swedish Parliament unanimously decides that we are not going to be a Swedish country anymore. So you have to look at this phase in history. What happened between 1965 and 1975 that totally made this change possible? And actually, I do not believe that the people who were in the parliament in 1975, that they actually understood what was going to happen. I think most of them thought that this is just pretty words. And of course, there will not be millions of foreigners in Sweden, maybe a few thousand, and we can cope with that. And then we can be so nice and say, oh, we're a multicultural country.
Yeah, I wonder who was behind this change. Who could it be?
Who could it possibly be?
Yeah, who could it possibly be?
I don't know.
but yeah, I wanted to say, speaking of the boomer cock question. So here's my take on this. I mean, Sweden was a pretty perfect country in the 60s. I didn't live there, but obviously this is sort of almost a fact. So perfect is boring, right? So they wanted a challenge. What was trending in the 1960s and 1970s? Open borders, global solidarity. This was trending. I mean, if bowling was trending, we would probably best in the world at bowling, right?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, mass migration, global solidarity was trending. So we wanted a challenge. So this is what we did. Also, the boomer cock generation, they wanted to live their hedonistic lifestyle. I mean, free sex, free drugs, whatever you wanted, you could have it, right? So I guess it's a combination of different things, but I think it was sort of in the timeline at that period, that open borders, global solidarity, that's what made us take those decisions, small steps, which is now has now led us to the situation that we are in today. And yes, the boomer cocks are to blame.
Yeah, I'd also say that the Swedish spirit or the Scandinavian spirit, like we are fanatics in regards to the spirit. Christianity died in the beginning of last century because it got killed. So it had to be replaced with something else. That something else in the 60s was, yeah, as you say, like the sort of ideologies. And of course, we want to be idealistic. And I mean, when I say fanatic, in the sense that a religious fanatic, during our time of great power, we were ardent Protestants, religious Christian fanatics, basically. More fanatic in regards to Christianity than anyone else, because we always have to be the worst, the best, the most extreme. Same thing with the cultural Marxist question. We had to be the most extreme. We had to be even more righteous than the other nations. So if Norway took in 1,000 refugees from Africa, we had to take in 2,000 because we are these fanatics. We need to be the worst all the time. Now, this is actually a good thing because we can turn this to our advantage if we change what is being perceived as morally righteous. So the morally righteous thing in 3 years or 5 years' time will be to give everything you have to modern Sweden. Then a lot of these Swedish or European fanatics will go in full force, like a lot of Swedish nationalists have done, like you, Stefan. I mean, you said you've been in this game for 20 years. That takes a good spirit. And if we can awaken that in more people, then a lot will be won.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I think we just have to... Yeah, go ahead, Stefan, additions to that.
Yeah, I agree. It's when you say it, it's getting so obvious that, you know, we have... The Swedes, we always have to be the best of everything. Okay, we don't want to say it to everyone. We don't want to brag, but we must be the best all the time. And the same with the immigration question or cultural Marxism. It's just like you said, Marcus, you know, we have to be the best on everything. And now the best is getting us to the bottom. But yes, you're right.
And guys, if we can get to a position where we kind of also... I think we have to recognize that it isn't the end of the world. It's not even the end of Sweden. Most of the damage that's been done so far has happened very quickly. It's extraordinary quickly, time-wise. And I've always argued that also then the fixes can actually be implemented very quickly. And I'm not afraid of, let's say, you know, Stockholm being burned to ruins necessarily. It's not a good thing. I wouldn't be happy about that, but I'm saying... Architecture, infrastructure, all these things that we're losing, that we can rebuild, you know, collectively. That's not the problem. I mean, obviously, if there's a treasure here, obviously it is the biological, let's say, uniqueness or the traits that we have, obviously, those we want to preserve. But nothing of that yet on a massive scale has been damaged in that regard, right? I guess what I'm arguing is that if we can get to a point, guys, where we kind of feel, you know what, this isn't that bad, kind of a lightheartedness comes into the picture where we just know we adapt a position that we know that we can fix this. We're going to be able to restore this. This is not a big problem. We have to be in that regard, as you said, Christopher. We have to be more white-pilled and just realize that, you know what, this is not a big deal. Let's take care of the situation. Let's steer it up. Let's fix it. If we're downtrodden, if this is a heavy burden which we don't believe that we can fix, we will never be able to fix it, right? It is a belief, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. The spirit is the most important. As long as people still feel that there is such a thing as a Swedish people and Sweden is our country, then anything can happen. And it can happen, as you say, very quickly. And I, just like you, I don't care about buildings and infrastructure and so on. The most important thing is that Swedes don't lose all hope. And that is what I am afraid of, because a lot of people have been sleeping for such a long time. And now they are starting to wake up. And some of them, they will be so scared when they see what has happened. So some of them will say, oh, the cause is already lost. Sweden is lost. So there is no hope in trying to save our country, so I might as well go back to sleep or just, you know, have fun for the rest of my life.
But like I'd say that these guys, I mean, I've seen this before quite a lot of times, these defeatist attitudes, but they're quite easy to counter, especially here in Sweden. Like, you can just present them with some epic motivation and they will start seeing the truly, like, the opportunity for heroism. I mean, who wouldn't want to live in this timeline? I wouldn't want to live in the 50s when everything was good and sound. Like, now we have the unique opportunity to make a great change. It's like living in Lord of the Rings or something. When all of the people in Minas Tirith and Gondor says, like, oh, it's all hopeless. And then Gandalf comes in and says, you know what, lads, let's win this war. So that's what we can do right now. It's just a matter of presenting this option. Or you can take like King Arthur, the historical figure of it, King Arthur. Like, yeah, at the end he lost, but imagine how much glory him and his men procured for themselves by just creating an epic resistance. So I mean, either we lose and do it with honor, or we win, and then we win. So we can't really lose no matter what. And then, for the record, I do in no way, shape, or form, in any scenario that I've played up in my head, see how we can possibly lose this from the starting position we are in right now. It's so for me to be black-pilled at this moment, to have defeatist attitudes, it's just a matter of not knowing enough. Like, these guys who are black-pilled, they need to pick up a history book and see that this situation we are in right now, it might look bleak, it might look, you know, like we're in a bit of a situation, but there are a lot of Western nations that have been in a lot worse predicaments and, you know, risen from the ashes and risen to the occasion and, you know, felt that fire inside of them and just kept pushing forward.
But Marcus, tell me, why should I believe you? You seem so positive that the Vikings are going to wake up again. And I am so happy to hear you say that. But as one part of me will say, well, there aren't any Vikings left in Sweden. They're just sissies, feminists walking around in pink clothing and with mascara on their eyelashes.
I can tell you this much. If I got to pick 20 or 50 or 100 men from any ethnicity in the entire world and arm them, if I lead them and arm them with an AK-5 or something, I would pick Swedish men any day of the week. No question about that at all. Of everyone I could pick. That is the image the mainstream want to portray it as, to bring about defeatist attitudes, to portray us as being weak. But that is not the truth. It is not true at all. Like, you need to meet more Swedish men because everyone I meet, solid guys.
We're in this race to win. That's why we're
of course.
And I mean,
defeat is not an option.
No.
I mean, Christopher, we trained earlier today. I mean, all of these guys we trained with, solid, good men.
I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I think it might be a generational gap as well. I mean, to a certain extent, you know, I don't mean that in a bad way, but Sweden as we know it is over. I mean, that is over. The state of the country that allowed itself to end up in the place that we have, that is not going to be anymore. And no matter how we turn and toss this, we're not going to go back to the 1950s or 60s, that level of, you know, not prosperity, but level of mentality, perhaps, right? Mm. So we are in a very different state overall right now. And I think it's for the better, to be honest. I think that we can, you know, come out of this situation and end up in a much better state due to the challenges that we're faced with right now.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, our identity will be a lot stronger. In 10 years' time, the Swedish, Scandinavian, European, Western identity will be much stronger, and a stronger identity will lead to greater fulfillment in the life, because then we can have more pagan rituals, for example, which we didn't have perhaps that many of a few decades ago, because everyone was just wanting to be part of this monoculture. But now we can truly revive our culture, get back to our roots, create something new and better. So I mean, something has died. We have the unique opportunity to build something new. Of course, I want to be participating in this. If I right now can be at the center of a cultural change, and I can create a culture basically as I see fit, not me as an individual, but like talking a bit more broadly, this is an extreme luxury. And we can say like, okay, what was bad with Swedish culture 40 years ago? Yes, we didn't train enough in the gym, or we didn't train enough martial arts. Okay, cool. We can change that right now.
The king is dead. Yeah. Long live the king.
Long live the king.
I mean, guys, talking about giving up. Yeah. Can you just imagine giving up? What would giving up mean? Just watching your people dying in front of you. That is, for me, something I couldn't even imagine doing. I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Yeah, and the state that we're in, the advantage that we still have, it would be, I mean, that would be a sad thing indeed. Meaning, I think our enemies are keen to point out that it's a psychological battle, right? It's basically, well, you've already lost, so give up. That's what they want us not to fight. You know, that's why they try to almost instill this like a Jedi mind trick that is like, it's over. That's it. You know, you can never return. And it's bullshit. We have to be a stronger mentality than these people and overpower them with our will. That's just what it takes here. You know.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, to yet again counter-signal all of these guys who are commenting, oh, Sweden is already lost. They've probably never even been to Sweden. They have not met Swedes. They have no clue about our potential. They have no clue about our metapolitical situation. They have no clue about anything except that they hear bad things from Sweden. So, they understand nothing, really. So, yeah.
I also think it might be an excuse to not join the fight.
That's right.
Oh, it's over. Everything, but these people are just cowards. They don't dare to they don't dare to join.
Absolutely right. It's a convenient excuse to not have to do anything because, you know, you might lose your job or your friends or, you know, take the heat. So then it's like, no, it's already over. So let's just give up. So, yeah, you're completely right.
Can I just ask you? You seem all very positive about the future of the Swedish men, but what about the Swedish women? We know that they target Swedish women. A lot of them are really very crazy feminists, not all and not the majority, but some are really crazy feminists. And what they do to try to make more and more Swedish women not wanting to, you know, build families with Swedish men is the commercials. We just saw a commercial. I don't know if you can show it, Henrik, this ICA commercial. It would be really good if you could show it, because this is a typical example.
What was it about?
Of how you try to control the Swedish women in what direction they should look at guys.
I'm just going to say that if you show the commercial, it will reduce the level of gloriousness this episode is on. And I've been trying quite hard to increase that level.
That's not counter-signal, yeah. No.
First and foremost, I would just like to say that Swedish women are the best in the world. Obviously, I was raised by a Swedish mother, so I love her very much. I love my father as well. So when people say bad things about Swedish women, like I don't see it at all. Like I wouldn't trade my mother for the world for any other mother. So yeah, Swedish women, great, great girls. However, what we do need to do, and this is, as you say, Ingrid, there is a culture war where they always portray the non-white guys as the, you know, athletic, sexy individual that the white girls need to go with. So to counter this, we need to make Western guys sexy again. That's the key there, so that all of the white women then will reject this propaganda, so that reality is in great conflict with all of these Hollywood propaganda and the commercials as well. So that is how we counter that. And also, like, via mimetic warfare, if we can constantly show the beauty of Western men in different ways.
And that's why I want to talk about it, because we never see beautiful Swedish men in the commercials. Swedish men are always portrayed as goofy, stupid, fat, ugly, and they're losers.
And this is true all over commercial. The West. You know, America is like this too. But that's not the reality, guys. I mean, we know why they have to fight on this level, because they have to deconstruct that image that exists there to build up an artificial one.
You know that brainwashing is really working.
Sure.
I just need to say one thing. My brother was actually in one of these commercials, and he's one of the most beautiful men there ever was. So then he made a good work in representing the Swedish men, because then he was the hunk guy, because he's really well trained as well. But yeah, anyway, it's a good topic to discuss, because it is a very common narrative that, you know, the white guy, especially the white father, is seen as this goofy guy that has no authority. And I'd say this actually began with Freud back 100 years ago or something, to attack the authority of the father figure. Because if you attack the authority of the father figure, you collapse the family. And if you collapse the family, the whole civilization goes down the drain really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Yeah.
But still, I think even if we see it in commercials and we see it as propaganda all over, I think if you look at the broad in our country, you still see that Swedish women prefer Swedish men. You see.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I see them everywhere, and I think what women foremost want is stability, especially when they are coming to age that they want to have children, and an immigrant can't give you this, because he will not get a successful job, he will not be a provider for your family in that instance. And I think this is what most women want when they come of age to bear children. They want someone to provide for you. I think this is within ourselves. So I think it even with all this propaganda, I think it will be very difficult to break that natural change between a Swedish woman and a Swedish man.
Yeah, think about it. They have to work like 100% to try to, you know, knock us back several pegs to be in a position where, you know, the natural instincts are counteracted, basically. And it's I think it's hopeless for them. That's why I think you're right, Marcus, because we need, if we can just unleash our own level of, you know, memes and propaganda and to show the reality of the situation. I don't think the majority of people like what's on the TV anymore. I don't think the majority of the people, they know it's bullshit. They know it's is reflective of a world that just isn't real anymore. It doesn't exist. You know, most of these cultural Marxists and the papers and the, you know, radio shows and TV shows, they're like tanking when it comes to viewership and readership. And it's the alternative media that's on the rise. And we have to remember that people don't want that crap anymore.
Yeah, I also need to say something about Swedish leftist women. Like, even these semi-crazy feminist Swedish women, like, they still go with Swedish men and they move to Swedish areas. So, yes, they might harbor the politically correct views, but they vote with their feet and they vote with their vaginas. And then they are very, very honest with, you know, their choices. So they go with a white man and settle in a white area, despite having said how wonderful multiculturalism is. So on a primordial biological level, it is you know, still not working particularly much, despite four decades of intense cultural Marxist propaganda.
Yeah, I want to thank all the Swedish feminists for bringing more white babies to this world. Thank you for securing the 14.
Yeah, that's correct. Exactly. That's all we have to say. Guys, do you have any other tips on how we can unscrew our country if we indeed have been screwed in the way that we're talking about? In some cases, I think it's just much of it is a Jedi mind trick, have us believe things. And because it is true to a certain extent that what you do focus on and what you only pay attention to, that will kind of that will stand out to you as issues. And I think it is up to people like us to get ourselves into a place where we focus also on much more positive things, bringing back those cultural elements that we do have. I think Midsummer is like, I mean, as you said, as you opened up this with Ingrid, I mean, nothing can be more Swedish than that to me. You know, that's the most beautiful time of the year. It's at the summer solstice. It's at the peak of the sun, if you will. We do something physical with our, you know, with ourselves in terms of the fact that we're building a maypole, we're raising that up into the ground. It's just a beautiful, beautiful tradition. And I think if we continue to underline these, if we continue to do more of these, I think that our spirit is going to remain unbroken. You know, I think that this is what it's all about, us remembering who we really are and what it's all about, you know. What do you think, Ingrid?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have I've started to go to these different traditional things that we have for Valborgs Mesoafton, for example, in April the 30th. And I see that a lot of Swedes actually go to these things where you have this male choir singing a lot of lovely Swedish songs. And I think that the more diverse Sweden becomes, the more that we feel when we walk out in the streets that there are so many Muslims and so many people, non-white people, the more we it's like we rediscover our own heritage. So I have to say that what Marcus was saying before is actually true, because the worse it seems, it's like then we see that we need our own culture, our own traditions. So I do have a lot of hope for Sweden. And of course, I'm sure we will survive and we will take our country back.
Of course, there's no other outcome of this situation. It's just what it is. We have to will it into power. Guys, any other proposals? What would you like to see in terms of us doing favoring? Yeah, go ahead, Daniel. Got something to
add? Yeah, I was just thinking something that I see happening now in Sweden is intense networking going on, which is really great thing to see, because as I always say, we're pack animals and you need to have a pack, and many Swedes are really lonely, but that's starting to change because people really want to meet each other. They want to have a lot of nationalist friends. They want their children playing with other children who are nationalists, and this is going by
with an amazing speed. It's a real snowball effect.
That's good. That's excellent. All right. So memes. We're talking about cultural events. You know, we have media. We have all these other things in place. What do you guys think otherwise in terms of something in specifics that we're maybe not doing as well? Issues where we could improve, or where we need to maybe spend more time? I don't know if you guys have had any time to think about any of this, but is there any level of critique that you guys have in terms of what we're doing or not doing? Anyone?
I have a list. I can go through it. First and foremost, as you said, Daniel, I totally agree. Like, networking is first on the list, and it's extremely awesome to see that a lot of sound-hearted individuals start creating these networks. And summer is just, summer is here. View this as a unique opportunity when you're off work, etc. Go take the car to the next town, meet up with some other nationalist individuals, create that network. Or if you don't know anyone in the vicinity, go to a conference and then strike up conversation with someone, and you know, start creating these mannerbunds, because that is something we will need in the coming future. Because if things become chaotic, it is extremely good to have a telephone with 10 numbers on that you can call up and say, okay guys, now it's go time, for whatever reason it might be. It's always good to have solid individuals at your side, because as you said, Donny, we're pack animals. Other than that, there are obviously a lot of things you can do. Start self-improvement as much as possible. Read books. Yet again, Logik Förlag, logik.se. Get as well-trained as possible. Everything, life becomes better if you're really well-trained. Get well-dressed as well, well-spoken, well-mannered. Stop watching porn as well. Use that masculine energy to more heroic endeavors. And then also stand up for yourself. Go with a straight back. Don't cower and apologize for your views, because our views are the right thing. We know this right now. So then it's just a matter of, you know, showing that with confidence to others that what we believe in is the correct way. Because it takes a few guys to stand up and say, you know what, this is completely fine, and then the rest of the social setting will follow. That is how you change culture. So if you are alone among blue-pilled normies who don't really care, be confident in your views, talk to them and see what they think of the situation, and then some of them might be enlightened by your confidence and charisma. That was my list.
Good tips. Because we have way too much of this, well, we can't really know anything, you know, it's all relative, right? That's the mentality. And I agree with you, Marcus. We need someone who's just, you know, comes into the picture and just set the scores straight and just tells it like it is. That's definitely what we need. There's no doubt about that. Well, guys, and please, guys, if you want to add anything more here at the end, please go ahead. I do want to, before we round up though here in a little bit, I do want you guys to plug your stuff, whatever it might be. If you have, you know, websites or Twitters or shows or whatever it might be, you know, books, whatever it might be that you guys are up to. I guess we could just kind of go around the table here once and have you guys kind of just close off. If there's any other additions and tips you have, and of course, plug your stuff. Ingrid, you're up on screen here for the Hangout. So let's begin with you.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to plug Norse News. The show that we do together, you and me and Daniel Conrad, and because that's the only thing that we do in English. If we have Swedish viewers and they still don't know about our podcast, Ingrid and Conrad, you should immediately go to ingridochkonrad.se. Or to YouTube or SoundCloud, where you can listen to our, I don't know, how many hundreds of shows do we have now, Conrad?
I think 400, I think.
Wow, yeah. And also, I will have some new books coming out at Stefan's publisher, the logik.se. And the one that I will work on all this summer is a book that I plan to name From Sweden to Absurdistan. And my goal is to show or to try to find out and give my take on why did this happen? Why did we go from Sweden to Absurdistan? And then, of course, some thoughts of how we can go from Absurdistan back to Sweden or to a new Sweden, a better Sweden. And I do hope that Stefan will be very happy with the book. And then he will say, of course, Ingrid, we will translate this into English.
Very good. Yeah, what is that? Logik.se, isn't it? That's the site.
Yeah, that's correct.
That's right. Okay, let me close that out here. That's good. What other titles, Stefan, are you guys working on right now? Obviously, you have a lot of titles up there already, but is there anything new you're working on?
Yeah, in stock, we have about 700 titles. We don't just sell our own products. We also sell from Arctos, County Currents, Black Ash Publishing, et cetera, et cetera. So we try to be like the naturalistic Amazon, if you will, but most and for in Sweden language. We are now publishing in a couple of weeks a book by a Danish psychologist who have worked in a youth
prison.
A youth prison for 3 years, where the majority of the intakes were Muslims. So he's have wrote a book about his experience there, how they are reacting and what they're doing. And it's a really interesting book. We are also now translating into English a book called Anarcho-Fascism that a Swedish author called Jonas Nilsson has just published in Swedish just some weeks ago. Very, very interesting book.
I just need to say that as well. It's a really good book by a very good man. Shout out to Jonas Nilsson. He's a great guy.
Our guy.
Yeah, there's the title, folks, for you who want to check that out. Excellent. Before we proceed, Daniel, do you want to add anything else in terms of the sites for Ingrid och Konrad?
No, but I want to stress what Marcus said before. I mean, these are difficult times. I know a lot of people are feeling really depressed and they don't know what to do. But I mean, Western civilization is hanging in the balance here, and we can actually make the good side win. I mean, join up. It's an amazing time to be alive.
That is correct. Christopher, let's switch over to you. Do you have any sites you want to plug? Go ahead.
I'm going to shill my stuff here. So first of all, I'm running Nordic Alternative Right together with Daniel Friberg, and Richard Spencer is an advisor to this project. You can find us at nordic.altright.com. We're publishing articles. We launched a podcast like yesterday. It's titled The White Pill. That's why I'm so happy all the time.
I heard it.
Yeah, you did. Okay. So that's that, and we're gonna continue doing this. This is metapolitical stuff all the way. You can find me at Twitter, Chris_alt-right. And actually, I want to send a message to people who are watching this. Hey, white man, what are you doing? If you're not doing anything, help out, donate, buy a book, like, subscribe, whatever you want. Do an effort and help us, help our civilization, and help yourself. So I guess that's about it. Also, I want to just say that Fast Nation, my favorite podcast, is back. You can find them the right stuff on this. So that's about it.
All right. So the golden one, let's end with you then. Wrap up for us and give us some of the plugs of the stuff you're involved in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Search for the golden one and then watch all of my videos, read all of my articles, and then you will have reached enlightenment. That's all I have to say.
Of course. That's how it goes, right? All right. Well, guys, good stuff. Thank you to all of you for joining us today. Good show, positive message, a lot of work to do as usual. Everyone, keep up the good work, and thank you for doing this for us. And have a great National Day, everyone. And go Sweden, upwards and onwards, right? Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.